The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a wide open show today by design because there is so much that I want to get to. There's a chance of some people dropping in, but there's just so much on the college. This college football story has turned into a total cluster. And I think the Pac-12 got it right. Obviously, the Big Ten did not. Is it a matter of there's just more passion in the Midwest than there is on the West Coast? Is it a matter of the virus on the West Coast dominating where in the Midwest it was not? All I know is there's a petition being circulated by an Ohio State quarterback that is growing, and the outrage in the Midwest. Meantime, the SEC is kind of flipping their nose over at the Big Ten, saying, yeah, you know, we're going to do our thing. And the ACC, you know, Clemson. And is it really a national championship in college football this year if there is no Big Ten conference? Could Kevin Warren, the president, the commissioner, I should say, of the Big Ten, be blown out over all this? How's Larry Scott handled it? It comes out this morning. There's $250 million that Fox and ESPN owe the Pac-12 conference. Like, it's the middle of August and football season's been canceled, but there's so much to talk about on this front. And want to get into that here in a few minutes. Our opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. It's where Sports 360 AZ does their business. When I walk in there, I have my deposits or I have some withdrawals. I have transactions I need to take care of for my business. When you walk in, do you have full belief that the people there are there for your best interests, or are they just there 9 to 5 kind of punching the clock? This is a company that's involved in the community. Desert Financial Credit Union is community, community, community. All right? Feel really safe when I go in there. It's like the people next door offer you a bottle of water on the way out. They're masked up. They're friendly. They've got a drive-through if you don't want to go indoors. It's very simple to take care of business, and they have a lot of different programs to help you out on many fronts. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Sports 360 AZ. Eric Sorensen is with us. How was your weekend?
Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad.
What'd you do?
Let's see. I went to Topgolf on Saturday instead of the traditional Saturday round of golf, which was nice and refreshing.
Is Topgolf still fun? Is the novelty worn off, or is it just like, I don't know, because they're closed. Very nice people, Topgolf. They were closed for the longest time, and they've asked, you know, for people to come back. So what was different about the experience at Topgolf?
I think simply because I hadn't been to Topgolf in probably 7 or 8 months, there was actually some excitement. I think Topgolf is kind of one of those places, if you go too much, it's just like, yeah, I've been there, done that. But
yeah.
You know, we went early in the morning, well, 10 a.m. early, because that's when they open. And it wasn't like a complete mob scene. But it's crazy to think, Brad, by the time we left around noon, it was packed with people. Packed.
Everybody wants to get out. So you've been here all of your life. I've been here for coming up on north of 30 years. And when people say, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so hot. And coming up, I'm making fun of the evening news people. You know, these nice people that are trying to become weathercasters, it's their first or second or third gig, and they're like, oh, it's so hot. Ho, ho, ho. We'll tell you how much longer this will last. Ho, ho, ho. And there's a monsoon. Ho, ho, ho. And I kind of hear this stuff and just say, okay, yeah, whatever. So I go out and I golf on Saturday afternoon, what's supposed to be 117 degrees and a heat warning and all that. Instead, I don't know what it was. I know that I had plenty of water. I know that there was shade. I know it was a hard course. I know I got around in 3 hours. I know there are other people out there along with myself, and it was fine. You know, the live in fear part, that doesn't mean you just randomly go hike South Mountain without any water like some dopes do. But I don't know. If you're just going to be told it's awful, it's awful, it's awful. It's kind of like masking up in the Big 12 or Big 10 conference, I suppose.
I just think that maybe this year, because we've been shut in, the summer does seem to be a little longer and a little hotter, and it's a lot hotter. Well, and it's barely spit rain here since like 2018, but you know, it's it. You live in Phoenix. You have to deal with the four to get to the eight really good. Like, that's pretty much the reality of it. So get over it.
I watched a lot of baseball over the weekend. Man, Robbie Ray is a hard watch. He seems like a very nice guy, but I can even tell in Berthiaume and Brenly are from the very first inning, it's here we go again. I would love to hear the off-air conversations that are happening during the course of a broadcast or the talkback. That's a button that you can push that doesn't come out over the air. I would love to hear what those conversations are like when Robbie Ray is nibbling, and he has six walks and hasn't allowed a hit in five innings.
You know who could advise? You know who could advise Robbie Ray on how to pitch?
Yeah,
Randy Johnson. Not because Randy Johnson was a huge strikeout king, but as you remember, Brad, towards the end of his career, he lengthened his career by having guys put the ball in play and thus reducing his pitch count. Like, he was adamant about that and was like, oh, well, you only struck out seven. Well, yeah, because I threw less pitches because I pitched to contact. Correct. If Robbie Ray would just pitch to contact, he might be able to take that no-hitter like he did yesterday, maybe into like the eighth inning or deeper.
Well, it's becoming – remember when Greg Olson would come out of the bullpen? And you would think Greg Olson would come out and he'd be carrying a gas can and some matches and his glove. He just had this look of fear on his face of the worst is going to happen. And so yesterday in the first inning, Brenly starts in on, look, he's changed this from his last start. He's changed that. And then they're like, you know what? Let's put Brandon Webb on the air. So then Brandon Webb's like, yeah, I made a list. There's like five things he's changed. And Brandon's the nicest guy in the world. Meantime, here's this poor soul who's out on the mound, who's in a contract year of all things. And every one of his starts, it's just like pulling teeth. The number of strikeouts and walks or strikes and balls are about the same. And
not good.
And he can never get out of the fifth inning.
Not good.
And so was yesterday a great start by Robbie Ray? He didn't allow a hit, but he walked six. So you sit there and say, oh, man, he's got it figured out. Well, no, because, again, he changed all of his mechanics yesterday.
Here's the good thing for Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is young, and Robbie Ray throws left-handed.
So someone
is going to pay him regardless of if he walks seven or eight guys a game, because left-handed starting pitchers in their prime are good things to have. And speaking of good things, hey, the Diamondbacks, I think we have some sort of revival, right?
Well, they're better. I mean, they play the Padres enough. I'm sick of San Diego. I think they're done with San Diego now. So
they'll just play the Giants and the Rockies and the Dodgers.
Over. Well,
maybe the Rangers again.
I'm glad the A's are in town tonight, because I'm just so sick of, and I'll hear Bob Brenly, Bob Melvin stories. Like yesterday, Bob Brenly was giving Joe Black stories because the Negro League Appreciation Day.
Yep.
And I used to sit with Joe Black in the press box at Diamondback games. I did shows. You might have even been at one of the shows I did with Joe Sr. and Joe Black out at Tex Earnhardt's place, where the two of them, we were in a packed room, just packed with fans. And Joe Black starts telling Jackie Robinson stories about how they get off the bus in like Pittsburgh and there'd be a sign that says whites only on the hotel. And he and Jackie would have to go across the street to the YMCA, and they'd have to sleep one at a time because the other one, as Joe Black put it, would be picking the roaches off of the other. That's how they took care of each other. And so when I hear stories like BB yesterday going down the line on Joe Black, for me at least, I'm all ears. I know there's people in the 20s, early 30s that are like, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. I just want balls and strikes. But I really like how Bob has become. It feels like he brings the sledgehammer to every broadcast now. Like through the years, because you're the former manager, you're going to bring the fly swatter. There's going to be times, I don't know. Now it's all the time. He's just, yeah, this and that and this and that. I think it was Saturday night's game where Torrey made a pitching change and pulled his guy, and I don't know. It was just, he was second guessing and third guessing, which I love. And I know there's broadcasts, like behind the scenes, this is really behind baseball, so to speak, where they'll say, yeah, you can't producer will say, or the executive producer, or the general manager will say, no, we got to keep everything positive in this broadcast. We got to keep everything positive. And, well, no, you don't have to keep everything positive. You don't need to lie to fans. Well, they're fans. We don't want to lose them. No, I think fans actually want to hear, if the Suns stink, rather than claim on the air, as happened last week after they won their eighth game on the radio, saying this, they're the best team in the NBA. I mean, come on. Just please stop. Don't try to tell me this is the greatest thing ever. It's fine. Not hating. Just, it is what it is. So, it's my thing. What else? What else caught you from the weekend?
I think I'm a little bit bummed that the Suns did not get a chance to play their way into the playoffs. But again, it goes back to, you know, all that crappy play before the restart. Like,
if DeAndre doesn't get suspended,
you can't lose to the Pistons, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. And I'm the glass half empty guy. Like, great run for the Suns, but they really got a lot of advantageous advantages, for lack of a better term, for some of these teams that they played. So,
but there are those people that don't want to hear truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. If DeAndre Ayton weren't suspended for 25 games, would they have made the playoffs?
Maybe, but
I mean, come on, Eric, they would have made the playoffs. They would have won 3 of those 25, right? Maybe.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right. The beginning of the basketball season seems like it's 5 years ago, to be honest with you.
So, do they need Kelly Oubre to come back?
They do.
I mean, have we seen enough out of Cam Johnson? Have we seen enough? I think if you look at the players, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson in particular, those are the two guys I look at and say, okay, now you have some ballers. You don't have guys that are 9th and 10th and 11th in the rotation. Those guys are flat ballers. To me, it's is DeAndre Ayton going to grow up? He'll say, oh yeah, you're hating on me and look at what I did. And, well, I don't know. You've been on a team that still hasn't made the playoffs. Yeah, we went 8-0 in Orlando. You still didn't make the playoffs. You're better than that. Rather than sit there and just say, oh my gosh, they're awesome and they're amazing. It's, guys, you have everything in place. The fact that Devin now is a complete player, and that people see the assists and see him guard the best player and see him set up his teammates and know when to take over and all that stuff, rather than just go score 70 and people have an orgasm over that, that's not necessary in this day and age. I mean,
but I still think the Suns are the 8th, 9th, or 10th best team in the West, even after what they did in Orlando. I mean, they need another dog, Brett. Need another thoroughbred. Yes. They need you're not better than Dallas. You're not better than Denver. You're
today,
not better than Utah. You're
today,
not better than the Lakers.
Today.
So,
okay, so then I'm going to throw it on you. If you're paying Devin Booker $156 million, part of that is for him to be a magnet. Part of that is on him.
Right.
To be the guy that picks up the phone. Rather than Draymond Green saying that about Devin, it's Devin saying, hey, Draymond, why don't you come down here and play? It's him recruiting guys, because Robert can't do it. That's very evident. They've not been able to do it with the owner. It used to be that Jerry could recruit guys to come here. No longer the case. So it's on Devin to say, I see you, and I see you, and I see you. I want you to come play with me. I'll show you the golf courses. I'll show you the nice places to be. I'll show you all that stuff. But we have something here, and you are the missing piece. And I don't know if that is at point guard. Ricky Rubio's older. Is Ricky Rubio going to that space of he'd be better to be a sixth man? I don't know. For those that say, oh, he's got to be the guy, it's a lot of miles. A lot of miles on that body. Is DeAndre Ayton content being the number two guy? It certainly looked like it. But again, he's got to put it all together for an entire season so that there's no doubt that he's all in. You can't be suspended for 25 games. You can't have nagging injuries. If you're the number one overall pick, Luka Doncic has lapped you 5 times over in a lot of fans' minds. Right? So
I think
I'm big on them, though.
I think one of the X factors that doesn't get talked about enough is Monty Williams. I think players would want to come play for Monty Williams, because clearly this group that started the season and that went to Orlando is buying whatever he is selling.
Sure.
And I just feel that Monty Williams had such a good sense of this group, because he said, even like right when they got to Orlando or before they were leaving Orlando, he's like, I think we could do pretty well in Orlando. Yeah. So like, he has his finger on the pulse of his team. And you know how it is in the NBA. Like, the NBA players, they're either all in on the head coach or they're all out. And it seems like the Suns are all in on Monty Williams.
Yeah, how about Alvin Gentry getting blown out by David Griffin?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's one of those that I'm doing this on that. Like, okay, what exactly happened here? And was it the players? And was it the age? Was it the messaging? Was it whatever it is? But if they're going to bring Jason Kidd or Ty Lue in there, it's that was a head scratcher to me. All right.
And I think part of it, Brad, real quick, was, you know, Anthony Davis was hurt, and then Anthony Davis was traded, and they completely restructured the roster, and they didn't play well in the bubble. And it sucks to see that, because you and I like Alvin, but that's life in the NBA. So,
yeah, well, if Monty's looking for a guy to be alongside of him, worse people. That's just me. I want to get into this Big Ten stuff with you, because it's Justin Fields, what he is doing is amazing. And how the Big Ten, I think, crapped the bed versus the Pac-12. So I have a lot of college football to get to. A little bit later, I got a hole-in-one. It's my first ever hole-in-one. I have to share why it was a very empty feeling of a hole-in-one. And I will explain that. That happened just the other day. We'll get to all of that as we continue on a Monday. Stay with us. So on this Monday, we know that there is absolute turmoil in the Big Ten Conference. And it started with a player movement. It started with Justin Fields, the quarterback at Ohio State. He went out and he decided to put together a petition. He spoke about it earlier today on ESPN.
It's a little movement by a bunch of college football players. So I talked to Trevor not too long ago, Trevor Lawrence, about this movement, and it was really just a movement we wanted to get behind, and just get college football unified and kind of just get a big movement going. So, you know, we just have one voice and we have one, I guess, name, sort of say. So we just kind of wanted to come together and just have a voice, so we would so the people who are making the decisions can hear our voice, and we can I guess.
So the thing with this movement is, a day in the life for a Big Ten student at Ohio State.
I think COVID brings a risk to everybody, but a question that I'd like to ask you is, would we be more safe on campus playing football or off campus, just doing whatever? I think COVID, you can contract it anywhere in the store, but me personally, I feel more safer at the facility, around my teammates, knowing my teammates are going to get tested twice a week. And that's kind of the safest environment for me and my teammates.
So, Eric, when you hear that, it makes sense. But when students come back on campus, all of that goes out the window. Because when you have hundreds of students or thousands of students and they decide to have their parties, which they're going to do, you cannot tell 18 to 22-year-olds that aren't on the football team, hey, by the way, we're not having parties. And you can't believe that every 18 to 22-year-old on the football team is going to say, nope, you know what, we're about playing football. Justin Fields wants to play in the NFL. It's great. But when you have ages 18 to 23 or thereabouts, red solo cups are going to fly around everywhere. We've all been in that space where college parties happen. And until they can figure out how to get rid of that, I don't see how the Big Ten can say, go back on their stance. And what Justin Fields is doing is fine and it's nice, but he is not the masses. He's not. There's been 250,000 people that have signed his petition since it started on Saturday. 250,000. But does that mean that the Big Ten should say, oh, we screwed up, we weren't listening, we were tone deaf? Actually, the Big Ten never explained their medical or their science, while the Pac-12 had a 12-page document that talked about the mitochondrial situations that happen with the heart in post. Yeah, there was the mother of the offensive lineman at Indiana who put out the Facebook post about the concern for her son, and once that started, the ball started rolling in the Big Ten negative direction. I guess, as you're looking at this, could you see where the Big Ten reverses its stance, and does this make a difference?
No, of course not. I mean, I applaud Justin Fields for doing this, and that's great that he's got all those people to sign or players to sign his petition or whatever, but it's not his decision, and the decision has already been made, and I'm pretty sure the Big Ten is dug in on their stance on this, Brad. I talked to one of my really good friends that lives out in Omaha, a mutual friend of ours, and I asked him last night, how much do you think Lincoln, Nebraska is going to lose without Nebraska football this fall? And he said, probably around $75 million.
Yeah.
So it's going to, these college towns are going to be hit so hard by this, but I just can't see the Big Ten just completely caving and reversing field on their decision.
But did the Big Ten produce a document like the Pac-12 did? And the answer is no. Kevin Warren, their commissioner, because there is this movement that's out there, and there's a couple of Arizona ties to Ohio State. Jack Miller, the quarterback at Chaparral, he was at Ohio State. He flew home on Saturday. I've been going back and forth with the dad. We might have the dad on the show. We might not. There was, what's his name from South Point? Why am I blanking?
Lathan Ransom.
Lathan Ransom,
was
right?
Was there, and I was going to reach out to him today and see, are you still in Columbus or are you back in Tucson? So
yeah, so there are some players with some ties to the Valley on this. And we don't hear anything from the Pac-12. We haven't heard of player movements. I haven't seen of any player movements. Why is that? Is it just because out here COVID has been so different than in the Midwest? Is it because we're so laid back out here? Is it because it's 117 in Arizona and the last thing people are thinking about is football? Is there just not that much passion around college football out in the western half of the country? Is it all the above?
I think everything you said, you could put into a perfect pie graph, especially the last part. I mean, no offense to the Pac-12, but in the middle of our country and in the South, college football is everything. It's everything. So it never surprised me, Brad, that the SEC didn't blink. They didn't blink once. They said from the jump, we're playing. And to this day, they are still playing. The Big Ten, did they handle it great? Of course not. Is it totally the commissioner's fault? Of course not. Was it mismanaged? Of course it was. But I just think it's going to be so hard for Justin Fields or whoever else wants to try to sway the decision back the other way. I just can't see that happening.
Well, the Big Ten released their schedule 6 days before they canceled the season.
Horrible PR move. Horrible PR move.
But the Pac-12 released their schedule about 3 weeks before they canceled the season. Or I shouldn't say canceled, postponed. Postponed the season. I think there's also, I've seen it in media down in the South. I've seen it in media in the Southeast, where they're just, you know, saying, we got over on you guys. And there's also a tremendous amount of people in the media that are looking at their own jobs rather than saying, okay, let's just look at this as full scheme. Like I've had people say to me, I can't believe you're not fully supporting high school or college or the NFL, because if they don't play, you know, what are you guys going to do? Like, we're still here. We're not built off of games. We're built about being a part of the fabric of the community. That's why we're here. That's why we've been able to do this. And so, yeah, I have a son who plays football. Do I think it's safe right now? No. But he's old enough to make up his own mind on these types of things, in my opinion. So I'm just looking at it and saying, is there a voice or two out there that is in a space of, can they play it right down the middle rather than all or nothing? And just look and say, you know what, Larry Scott actually did a pretty good job on this, even though I don't think he presented himself nearly as well as Ray did. Ray was the commissioner of the Pac-12 last week when they canceled out, in my opinion, or postponed. So,
you know, it's tough, Brad, because taking it back to the high school side, I dug a little deeper on some numbers this weekend. Okay, so the state of Arizona has had around 194,000 positive COVID cases.
Okay.
And, you know, we all know the testing can be hit and miss, wishy-washy, false positive, false negative. there are 7.4 million people that live in the state. So when you break it down like that, there is the glass half full side of me that says, you know what? We should just try to play this season. We should just see what happens. Try to play this season. Because most of, if not every single one of these kids, if they get COVID, they're going to be fine. I know the bigger issue is the families and the elderly and things like that. But it just is, when you take a step back, at least for me this weekend, and look at the really small percentage, when you're talking about a statewide look at it, it just made me pause and kind of rethink my stance.
But so, is one life too many lives? Is Kerry Crosswhite, the former swim coach at Chandler, who's dead now, or the Wickenburg golf coach who's dead now, is it worth going out there and playing just like, well, not going to happen to us? Well, do you know that? It's not going to happen to the linesman. It's not going to happen to the referee. It's not going to happen to the assistant coach. It's not going to happen to the bus driver. You know, right down the list. How do we know that? I would tell you that right now in my circles, and you may hear differently, most every high school coach that I talk to doesn't want to play right now. But they'll never say it publicly because they would lose kids in the transfer portal, which is happening all over the place. They would not be in line with their district, who wants them to be in line. And they are, but they're in the space of, I really don't want to coach. I don't feel like it's safe for these kids, but it's my job.
Yep.
And it's like the teachers today out at Queen Creek. Queen Creek opened today. Queen Creek's going to be the front page story, the lead item tonight. And, you know, you can take that story however you want to take it. Everybody is putting their own narrative rather than here is science and here is fact. Unfortunately, there's so many different people saying this is science and fact. You don't know what's true and what's not true.
And the Queen Creek district is going to be the guinea pig through all of this. One way or the other, that is either going to be a complete crash and burn situation, or maybe they're going to find a way to navigate through in-class learning. I think what you said about the coaches is dead on. I think if you ask the players, they'd be on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
I agree with that.
Almost every single high school player, if you went up to them and said, do you want to play a season? They'd say, absolutely. So,
but I don't think most of them know. I don't think most of them sit and go through the what is exactly going on right now.
No, of course not.
They just want to play.
But but those kids, Brad, have been stretched mentally.
I agree with that, but is football the way for all of those kids to come back mentally? I would say no.
I would say yes.
Is sports? I can't think that every kid that's on a high school football team is there just for their own mental well-being.
I think it's a huge part of high school.
I agree that extracurricular activity, the band member that's been canceled, the drama person that can't do a play, no school play this year, all those people are being impacted, but we're so focused on just the sporting side of it. And I'm looking at it as a dad of four and say, guys, it's the whole school experience. And you have people that just are still in the anti-mask mode. Do you see what Greg Byrne posted yesterday down in Alabama?
He didn't say where that picture was taken. So basically it was a picture that he put on Twitter. It looked like a college bar. There was no social distancing. The bar looked packed. But let's not assume that that was Tuscaloosa, because he didn't say it was in Tuscaloosa. But he got his point across. Yes, I did see that tweet.
All right. So I had a hole-in-one. I have to talk to you about this because it was sad. And I will explain why it was sad, where it happened and all that. This happened just a couple days ago. Next. All right. So from time to time, there's things that happen in life that I like to talk about here on the show. If you've just found us for the first time or you've been watching, you know that this is the case. If Eric has things that happen in his world, we like to go through them to a certain extent for both of us. But last Thursday, after we were done, last Thursday we were off, and I was deciding it was the day of my one-year anniversary since I had double knee replacement. 1 year, Eric. It just went whoo, like that. And so I decided to celebrate. I go golf with my wife all the time. That's what we do. We hike, we golf, we ride bikes. Very active. 2 weeks ago, she breaks off a piece of cartilage. in her knee golfing. She's laid up. She can't play. So here I am on my one-year anniversary. I want to go play. She kind of gives me the stink eye. It's fine. I play. I go out to Gold Canyon. Have you ever been to Gold Canyon?
No.
I used to think Gold Canyon was like an old folk place to go to. But it's a cool little resort out. You go past Apache Junction like you're going up to Superior and Globe and Pine Top. And they have two courses out there. One is Dinosaur Mountain. The other is Sidewinder. I've heard about Dinosaur Mountain for years. It's one of those you have to go play. I played it for the first time about 6 weeks ago. It was overseeded. The conditions weren't the greatest. It was 115. It was a rough 4.5 hours to get around there. But I like it. It's pretty. It was only supposed to be 117 only last Thursday.
Beautiful.
So I said, absolutely. So I said, well, I'm going to go play. So I get out there. The guy at the pro shop says, I'm by myself. The parking lot's pretty empty. He said, yeah, Sidewinder is in better shape. We've had no rain. We've had no monsoons. We've had no humidity. The course is not in great shape over on Dinosaur. It just hasn't filled in. Makes all the sense in the world to me. I'll go play Sidewinder. I go out to Sidewinder. It's a beautiful morning. And on the second hole, par three, I'm by myself now. By myself. And I hit a tee shot. And I'm like, well, that's pretty good. And it was one of my utility clubs, about 160. And the green slopes down off of a hill, so you can't really see where the flag is, the hole is. And it's about 160 yards, and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty good shot. So I get my cart, go down there, and as I always do, you've played with me once, and my wife, it's grab your putter, grab your sand wedge, grab your wedge, and that's just how it is. And I start going and looking in bunkers, because that's just what I do when I play. I'm like, oh, I must have killed the green, yeah. Whatever. So
yeah,
I'm looking around.
You and I, Brad, are not. We don't play greens in regulation often. Let's
no,
just put it that way, so.
GIRs are not our deal. So finally, I'm looking all around. I don't see it. And I look back at the hole, and there's this very big fresh divot, and about 15 feet from the hole. And I walk up, and there's my ball. Hole in one. I'm by myself. The loneliest feeling I've had, oddest feeling I've had. I ended up taking a short little video. I actually sent it to you. I was so lonely. No offense. Sent it to my wife. That made her feel worse. I actually FaceTimed with her. I said, here I am. Here's what happened. And a hole-in-one is like a big deal. Like on
huge
my
deal.
Social. On my social, it was like
huge
the biggest
deal.
Thing I've ever done, right? But when you do a hole-in-one by yourself and then you go back and I call the ranger, call the front desk, said, I got it. And it was just surreal. Like, what do you do? And then the next hole, I played 100 times better than what I played. And the next hole is a par three. And I hit a shot and it's going right at the flag again. And I'm thinking, there's no way. And it ended up like 30 feet short. But there was something in my brain about, I accomplished a hole in one. That doesn't happen. But I was by myself, and that sucks.
But those circumstances, Brad, you can't control. So you should celebrate that hole in one, even if it's by yourself. It doesn't diminish the fact that it wasn't like a great accomplishment just because there was no one else there.
Have you ever done something by yourself? Like, I never thought I could do it. And you're like, wow, this is great.
I'm sure I have. But I'm an only child, so I spend a lot of time by myself.
Well,
so.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But it's one of those things where in that sport, and the guy at the front desk was like, oh, yeah, it's happened. And you shouldn't feel bad. The picture, I think Jared put the picture up already. Or if you've got it, Jared, go ahead and put it up. Where the people out there at Gold Canyon were very nice, and I've had people that said they want to make a display off of it, and it's one of those lifetime achievements. Like, I've hiked the Great Wall of China, I have a hole-in-one. Those are two pretty cool things.
Really cool.
You know, and so I guess you're right, but in the moment that day, I was just a little bummed. Like,
I don't know. Like, yeah, you were by yourself, but it still doesn't deter the fact that, like you said, I mean, some of the best golfers in the world don't ever get a hole in one. So,
and he said that that's one of the hardest holes to get a hole in one on, which made me feel good afterwards.
Yeah, sure.
He's like, that hole, that's a tough one. So that happened. It was cool. All right, Coyotes today. What happens there? Darcy gonna?
Oh man,
another 49 saves.
You know what they say about hot goaltenders, and I think if you look at if you put the two teams up next to each other roster wise, Colorado has far more talent than Arizona, but Arizona has that X factor. And Saturday he was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he's
unbelievable.
If they'd scored just a couple of more goals, they'd be up in the series. I know it's that simple because he's been so good.
He has been.
And the Avalanche, yeah, they're supposedly that much more talented. I don't watch them inside and out, but they're supposedly that much better. And it certainly seems that when you have 49 shots put on you, you're not going to win many games. So the Coyotes play today. The Diamondbacks are tonight. And we will be back with you tomorrow to do our thing. We're going to work now over on the television show over on Fox Sports Arizona, the Brad Sesmat Football AZ show. Work on that. Eric, good seeing you. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Make sure you check out all of our content over at sports360az.com. The show repeats all day and all night. We'll see you tomorrow.